Good morning, everyone. This is Brent with IHCA. Thank you for joining us for this week's Friday from the State House call to update you all on the happenings at the Iowa State House. First of all, I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Government Affairs. Cornerstone is our contract lobby team at the Iowa State Capitol, does a wonderful job for us, and they're helping to sponsor this series, this legislative session. So I'm going to hand most of the content of the call over to Brandon to take you through the key happenings of the week. It was a consequential week in the legislature, and so we do have a number of updates for you. I think my introductory remarks, we're going to end with appropriations, and so I'll jump back in on that in terms of where I believe this is going. But I think it's clear that we are trending in a positive direction across our three sectors. I think it's clear, certainly in the skilled nursing facilities sector, that Medicaid rates are going up right now. It's a question of how much. In our HCBS and LUPA rate setting negotiations, those are yet to come, but we continue to feel very confident about the position of the Department of Health and Human Services on those two particular funding streams and their advocacy for increases. So generally speaking, a positive outlook when it comes to Medicaid rates across our sector, and we're going to end on that shortly. I do want to, even as you're sitting on this call, if you have not lately visited keepltclocal.com, I would encourage you to do that. That is our advocacy public affairs site specific for our skilled nursing facility sector members, skilled nursing facility rebasing, and has a huge number of resources, opportunities for you to share things on social media. It's really our portal for grassroots advocacy. You don't have to wait on us any longer to spread the message across your particular social media channels. And I'm sure Brandon will talk a bit about what we anticipate coming in terms of formal grassroots activation. But I'll be joining here at the bottom of the call to talk a little bit more about appropriations, and then we'll get into question and answer. But a lot more from Brandon to start. Brandon.
All right. Thanks, Brent. So it is the 11th week of session, and it tends to be a busy one here, especially leading up to second funnel. As you may remember, second funnel is when all policy bills need to pass through both the full House and full Senate committees to remain viable. If they don't make it through those full committees, then they end up being dead for the year. So we are ramping up towards that since that second funnel is next week. There were many bills signed by the governor. She signed about a dozen, I think, this last week or during this last week here. A couple controversial pieces of legislation, which you've probably seen running through the news outlets about gender transition for minors and certain bathroom bills and carbon pipelines and teacher protections. And, you know, several big topics, newsworthy topics, but not necessarily pertinent to our sector topics. And so, there were a few important pieces of legislation that were moving for our sectors. The first one I'm going to talk about here is House File 451. This is relating to Medicaid reimbursement for services to individuals who meet nursing home level of care and are required to register as sex offenders. And so this passed the full House HHS committee and was assigned to the HHS approps because it required a state appropriation. So now they're waiting for a full appropriations committee to pass this bill. They do not yet have a fiscal note on it, but from our understanding and our conversations that we've had with the department, it would be an add-on to current nursing facility rates. The way that Representative Fry is wanting this bill to look is he's wanting it to be dedicated wings, dedicated secure wings and facilities, or entire facilities as a whole. It's unclear on the number of individuals who are registered sex offenders that are needing long-term care. But there is always a need. We get outreaches, and we've had several outreaches just even within this last month about hospitals wanting to discharge folks to a facility who are registered sex offenders. And obviously that's a burden or a difficult person to place in a facility. And so they're trying to create some kind of incentive program or add-on program to help help get some of those individuals placement and care. So we are continuously monitoring that one. It's unclear right now if it will have a companion bill in the Senate. So we're not really we're not entirely sure on the fate of the bill. It comes into play on what that fiscal note is, and if it ends up being too high, the Senate may end up declining or try to modify it to minimize some of that impact to the state budget. So monitoring, we've been pretty active in providing language on how we think that this bill should look, because it is a priority for Representative Fry, who also is the person who handles much of the budget conversation on the House side for all of our sectors. And so we want to be good partners with him. The second bill that is floating around, it has a companion. So it's Senate File 462 or House File 525. This is the act relating to Medicaid program, including third-party recovery and taxation of Medicaid managed care organization premiums. So this one did pass full committees in both the House and the Senate. It has to go to Ways and Means because it has a fiscal impact. It passed the House Ways and Means, and it passed the Ways and Means sub in the Senate. So it's waiting for a full passage in the Senate before it can be approved. So waiting on that to get passed by the entire House and Senate, but it's on its way through the committee process right now. So again, as a reminder, that bill would be charging a tax on the Medicaid managed care organizations, with the funds from the tax being reverted back to the medical assistance program, which is the program that is all of the Medicaid rates. And so it has been said that those funds used by the departments would go towards rate increases towards providers who have not received them in quite some time. Which, you know, as an association, we're supportive of any kind of new funding that can be introduced into the sector or into the industry or the professions that are all needing and buying for the same dollars. So we've been monitoring that one as well. And then lastly, as far as a bill, and definitely not least, this is a bill that is more specific to our nursing facility folks. It's Senate File 506. It's on the certificate of need process. We've had several conversations. This is on the Senate side with Senator Edler. He's been kind of spearheading CON and has kind of had his eye on it for many years now. Ultimately, he's wanting to eliminate CON for hospitals and many of those standalone surgical centers. And so his intent has all along been to want to eliminate that process for those to open up more access to those services in communities across Iowa. Oftentimes, nursing facilities are getting lumped into that because of the definition of healthcare facility. It includes nursing homes, but includes many of the other hospital and surgical center type programs. And that's why we usually get lumped in there. So his bill, he actually submitted a bill. It got passed out of sub. He submitted an amendment to his own bill, which included like 17 pages of changes. Most of the pieces in that legislation, we've had eyes on all of it, but we've been okay with most of it. There is one, piece in particular that we are not happy with in there, and that is the decision to remove the Health Facilities Council out of the CON decision-making process, and ends up handing that authority to the Department of Public Health. And so this is the piece of the bill that we're not super thrilled with. I will again mention that this only is on the Senate side. And so while it did pass the full Senate, it now needs to go to the House for consideration. And there is no House bill that has been moved through any process on their side at this point. And so as this coming week comes into play, this will be the last opportunity for the House to be able to do something. And so we'll be working with our House members on that problem in particular for us, and try to work towards improving that bill. I will also mention that the initial bill from Senator Edler included a nursing facility CON moratorium with no solid end date. And so he actually ended up removing the moratorium out of his with his amendment. So that's no longer in his bill. We do think that that moratorium language will likely be circling back to us in a later bill after funnel. So when looking at a moratorium, I know we've probably, I think we've talked about it on this call over the last several weeks, but there are a couple hills to die on for us when we're looking at moratoriums. The biggest one is that there has to be an end date. That end date would preferably be sooner rather than later. And secondly, tied into that moratorium, there needs to be an updating of the long-term care bed need formula. This is a bed need formula that's been in use for about 40 years, maybe longer, without an update. And so there are many different factors that are not calculating into that. We especially would want a formula update if the Health Facilities Council is no longer in charge. So we would want to point, if we're able to influence the formula, we'd want to point towards that to the decision on whether or not a bed should be added. So it's been an active week on CON, and it will be, this coming week will be just as active as we're working on the House side to influence that bill. And so more will come, and more will come even after that if it ends up moving in into some kind of other bill or the budget, possibly towards the end of session. So lastly, I'm going to talk about appropriations quick, and I know Brent mentioned it briefly at the top of the call, but obviously the budget is like the last piece of this. And so we do have conversations coming up. I know Brent and Maria are going to meet with the speaker on Monday to lay out the requests of all three of our sectors. You know, as a reminder, SNFs, quality assurance assessment fee increase will be going into effect April 1st. And so there will be a 10.7% base rate increase along with the fee increase for providers April 1st. You should, and I think this weekend is actually the 30-day mark for the public notice of that QAF increase. And so we would expect that the department will be submitting the state plan amendment on Monday to CMS. After their submission to CMS is when they can start to release the rate sheets out to providers. And so we would expect towards the end of next week that you should see your updated rate sheets with the increases to the quality assurance assessment fee for April 1st, which should be plenty of time to get them in place by the MCOs prior to your billing for April services in that first week of May. And so that is the first piece. Secondly, $35 million is the number that remains for our SNF sector. And so that will be relayed to the speaker on Monday in that meeting, along with a few different types of, I guess, budgetary savings opportunities for the House and for the state budget. You know, looking at, you know, potentially staffing agency, another step on staffing agency reform, COLA increases, trying to impact or using COLA, which is that cost of living increase for Social Security, making sure that we're maximizing that, and rather than the state and the MCOs absorbing those increases, as well as some kind of budgetary savings whenever there's budgeted dollars that are not being spent at their intended purpose. So there's just a few different opportunities there that we can point to help help offset some of these significant appropriations. Brent also mentioned a $3.2 million increase for home health. And so We'll be obviously advocating for that as well. That was a number that we received from the department earlier this year about what would get to 100% LUPA rates for both urban and rural providers, and that was the number that we were given. And so that would fall within a reasonable range of what we also expected that to be as well. And then lastly, the utilization of elderly waiver, wanting to make sure that we continue to get waiver increases for our providers. 3.55 and 4.25 were the percentage increases for the last 2 years, respectively. And so looking to continue that momentum and at a similar clip going into this next year. And so we do know that the Senate has released a budget, just an overall budget. And as part of that, they matched the governor's recommendation for $15 million for SNFs. The House has not yet released theirs. They have given some targets, which we think are typically higher, which is higher, and they tend to be a little bit more, I won't use the word loose, I guess, but I will use the word loose. I don't know that that's necessarily a good characterization, but it ends up usually having additional funding there within the House, and then they have to negotiate to where they end up at the end. So the Senate and the Govs match at about $15 million for SNFs right now. And so we're working on the House, and that's part of why that meeting is occurring on Monday. So I have talked for a long time here, so I'm going to pause, see if there's any questions. Brent, maybe if there's anything you need to add or want to add that maybe I missed, I'll stop for that.
Yeah, let me just add, Brandon, that just a little bit of a look ahead, and you did some of this when it comes to appropriations. So as Brandon said, this is we're going into the second funnel week. So after next week, it is all about the budget. We had, if you've followed any news coverage of the legislature in the last 24 hours, you'll probably see some positive coverage. Speaker Grassley had a media availability sometime yesterday and made specific comments about the House's priority to rebase nursing facility rates. So that's a very positive comment from him. We'll be meeting with him in person next week and talking with him in a lot more detail about his caucus's intentions. We don't know where the House is specifically on Medicaid, but historically we've prevailed on the House to move the Senate's number up, and we'll be working with them to do that. To Brandon's point, using a couple of ideas that we have, which will in the future mitigate the trajectory of Medicaid cost growth in Iowa. So it was a positive sign that we saw from Speaker Grassley going on the record there. With that, I think we should just go ahead and open this up to questions, Brandon.
All right, thanks, Brent. So anyone, you can either unmute or you can throw it in the chat. We'll stop now, and we got about 10 minutes left on this call, so we can take any questions that you may have.
Can you remind, this is Terry Roche from Enzyme Services. Can you remind me how long the session runs and when it ends, please?
Yeah, so we would, go ahead, Brent, if you.
Sure. So, Terry, there's not an official end date for the session. There is an official date at which the legislators per diems end. I believe that is the end of April. So typically, that tends to motivate things to reach a conclusion. I think that it's you never know. Typically, what would extend the legislative session beyond sort of into April, into May, and in fact, we've seen it into June, is the introduction of a highly controversial issue, budget issue, during the waning weeks of session. And while tax reform, particularly property tax reform, is still a live round, the speed at which the legislature has moved on extremely controversial issues this year, which owing primarily to the expanded majorities in both the House and the Senate for the Republicans, suggests to me that I don't think we can anticipate a major delay. And so I think that it's likely that session will conclude probably in early May, and we should have a good handle on where we are ending up in terms of Medicaid rates for our three sectors by the end of April, early May, which is really kind of what we've expected from the beginning.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions from the group? All right. Well, hearing none.
Well, I'll just say, Brandon, I'll just end this by saying thanks, everybody, for being on. We're looking forward to seeing many of you at our Spring Quarterly Conference in Des Moines next week. Make a special note to our assisted living members. LaShawn Bethea, who's the National Executive Director of the National Center for Assisted Living, will be at our conference speaking and have an availability to meet with our AL members. I'd encourage you to take advantage of that. And for our members that are members of the Iowa Healthcare Quality Partners Network, IHCA's newest staff member, Kimber Larson, our new Director of Quality Solutions, will be on hand. She starts next week. She is going to be spending most of her time, almost all of her time, assisting IHQCP SNF members in two areas related to infection control and rehospitalization. So excited to get her started, and I'd encourage you to take an opportunity to meet her, especially if you're in the network. So with that, everybody have a wonderful weekend. Thank you to Cornerstone for sponsoring. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.